This morning we return to our survey of the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Before we look together at some instructions the apostle gave to his son in the faith, Timothy, again let us pray and ask for the Lord's help in the study of his truth. Let us pray together. Our Lord God, we thank you again for the Holy Scriptures. And as we open the pages of our Bibles this morning, we pause and consider that there have been generations, there have been nations who never received one beam of gospel light. But here we are, and by your kind providence, we have your word. Oh, we give you thanks. For we know that the Scriptures are able to make us wise into salvation. And here, Lord God, in the pages of your book, we learn what we are to believe. We learn how we are to live. Lord God, this morning, as we look at a portion of your truth, we acknowledge our great need of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Oh, please help us. For we are yet sinners, and we have that tendency to misunderstand, the tendency to twist to our own desires. Help us. Might we truly understand, might we receive, might we be better equipped to serve Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Did you at any time this past week feel sorry for yourself? Did you at any time this past week feel sorry for yourself? In other words, in your heart you said more than once, poor me, poor me. No one's ever had it this rough, and no one really understands, and no one really cares. Did you have that experience this past week or the week before? Of course, you might defend yourself by saying, hey, buddy, if you had to put up with what I have to put up with, you'd be down in the dumps too. Well, I don't doubt it one bit. I'd be down in the dumps too. Isn't it true that all of us, ever so often, we indulge in that spirit of self-pity? All of us indulge in it sometime or another. And you know, it's an awfully easy spirit to entertain, and it's an awfully easy spirit in which to dwell, and it's an awfully difficult spirit to get out of. Well, what can we do maybe to prevent entering into it, or what might we do to get out of such a spirit? Well, for one thing, we've got to acknowledge that we've got it. We've got to acknowledge it's wrong, and we really need to talk to ourselves about it. You remember what the psalmist did? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why? Hope thou in God. Will you yet praise Him? Or again, the psalmist says, my soul clings to the dust, so depressed. O Lord, quicken me. Quicken me according to your word. And so we need to think. We need to pray. We need to consider the promises of God. Now, this section in Timothy, it seems to me that the Apostle Paul is giving to Timothy some real encouragement to help him stay out of that spirit of self-pity. Why would he do it? Well, because, Timothy, you're going to enter into some real suffering. You're going to be faithful to the gospel. You're going to experience suffering. And you see, when we are suffering, it's very easy to go on and indulge in self-pity. Woe is me. And so he wants to give Timothy some encouragement. Then he does a number of things. Last week, we looked at a section, and he says, Timothy, as regards this matter of suffering, I want you to think about other people. Timothy, think about the soldier. Think about that soldier, what he foregoes in order to please the one who called him to be a soldier. And you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has called you into his army. And so there are certain things you're going to have to endure, certain things that you're going to have to put up with. And Timothy, you can't become entangled with the things of this world. If you do, it's going to hinder you in your service to your commander, and it may cost you very much. And so, Timothy, you think of that soldier next time you begin to feel sorry for yourself. But not only that, he pointed Timothy to the athlete. And the point of the athlete we brought out was he's a disciplined man. He's a very disciplined man. There's a lot of things he foregoes in order that he might be in shape, in order that he might run the race if that's what he's in. And he's got to play by the rules. Timothy, don't get sloppy in your life. It can cost you. And then he pointed Timothy to the farmer. Because you see, Timothy, and what you're going to have to go through is a lot of work, and you're going to get tired, and you're going to want to just say, forget this, and think of the farmer. The mark of the farmer, he's working. He's always working. Yes, eventually he gets a little taste of the first fruits. But Timothy, those first fruits are a long time coming. Now my wife and I, each year we put out some tomato plants. You got to get the ground ready, and you put in the plants and fertilize this, that, and then you've got to water, and you've got to protect them against the little varmints and against the birds. And so we get them planted, and it seems like I go out there every day, maybe twice a day, and I look, is that thing growing? Is it growing? It doesn't seem to be growing. What's wrong here? And I look, and oh, you know, I think it has grown a little bit. And then it finally gets a blossom on it. Well, is there going to be any fruit? Oh, finally, there's a little tomato the size of a pea. And I look, I go out every day. Is it going to grow? Well, it's got a little bigger. Is it ever going to get ripe? It just takes forever to get the first fruit. Timothy, you're going to have to work hard, and you're going to have to be patient. You may see some fruit, and it may take quite a while. So he puts forth these things, you see, in order to encourage Timothy, to help him, give him some strength in time of suffering. But it seems to me he's not finished yet. He wants to give him some more encouragement. And so that brings us to our section for this morning. We'll read verses 7 through 10 of the second chapter. You notice what he says, consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. And we picked that verse up last time. It may have reference, certainly, to what's already preceded. Timothy, I've given you these illustrations, these metaphors. From time to time, you start getting down in the dumps or discouraged. Think about these things, Timothy. You think about them. But the same thing may apply. Consider what I say, the Lord give you understanding, and so it's what follows. And so here are some things he wants to encourage Timothy about. Keep him from this discouragement. Keep him from feeling sorry for himself. For example, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amen. And so he gives three things for encouragement. The first he does for Timothy's encouragement, remember Jesus Christ, his person, his work. Remember Jesus Christ, his person, his work. You notice what it says. Remember the Jesus Christ of the Son of David. Remember, and that's an imperative, and it's a perfect. In other words, you remember, and you go on remember, and you think often and keep in your mind, Jesus Christ. And so we try to break that down. Remember that Jesus, that was His personal name. What does that tell us? Well, you remember what the angel said to them. You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. His name is Jesus, and it reminds us, you see, of His humanity. Very man of very man, very God, very God. He was a true man. And in that humanity, He suffered. Oh, how He suffered. Timothy, are you complaining? You need to think about the Lord and Savior. And you go back into the Old Testament. You remember what Isaiah had to say about this matter? He speaks about the coming one. He says this, for example, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Timothy, look at your Savior. Look at all that He went through. He did that in order to redeem you. But there is more. You notice in that 52nd chapter, He speaks about just as many were astonished at you. His visage was marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. In other words, they're speaking about our Savior. And you remember, you go back and you think about that trial and you think about the beatings that came from the Praetorian Guard. It came from the Roman soldiers, how they slapped and they punched and they beat and they tore His beard. Horrible looking sight. Maybe you've had that experience. Perhaps at an accident or someone's been terribly disfigured. You look and you turn away. That's the Savior. Timothy, remember Jesus. Remember Him of the seed of David. In other words, you go back to 2 Samuel 7, and there is what we call the Davidic covenant. And that promise is made to David that out of his loins shall come one who shall be the ruler of Israel, ruler over all of His people. And so indeed you have that covenant faithfulness. You have that covenant promise. Remember, Timothy, how faithful God is, how He keeps His word, how He keeps His covenant. Remember Jesus, Timothy, when you want to feel sorry for yourself because there are some difficulties. Consider Jesus, we read about in the book of Hebrews, who endured the contradiction of sinners against Himself. He came into His own people. They didn't want Him. He's not the kind of Messiah we want. No. We want a particular kind of Messiah, and He doesn't measure up. And so they speak to Him and tell Him He has a devil. Tell Him that He blasphemes. Timothy, you feel sorry for yourself? Think about Jesus, and then you have the word Christ that speaks of His office. He's the Anointed One. He is the Messiah, you see. Here you have the Messiah, and this is what they do to God's Messiah. Oh, Timothy, yes, you're going to have some difficult times. You're going to have some opposition, Timothy, but think about our Savior. And you remember previous to this how the apostle brought out about certain ones did forsake Him. Timothy, you're going to have those who forsake you. Timothy, look to your left. You see the fellowship of the saints. You've got support. You look to the right. You see more saints, the fellowship of the saints. Look back on your left. How many have left you? How many have left you? Jesus knows about that, Timothy. There were those who were following in John 6, and when they heard His doctrine, they went back. And then within His circle, there was a Judas. Timothy, you think you have something to complain about? Look at your Savior. He's the one who went on before us. But you notice something else? Was raised from the dead. Yes, He died, that horrible, horrible death. But he was raised from the dead. Timothy, you serve a living, reigning Savior. He has ascended into the heavens. He's the right hand of God the Father. He has all authority and power in heaven and earth. And Timothy, the one who has ascended into the heavens, is your high priest. And he ever lives to make intercession for you. And Timothy, he was tempted in all points like you are, yet he did not sin. But he understands. He understands the sufferings that we go through. For he himself knows about suffering. And so, Timothy, next time you might start to enter into that spirit of feeling so sorry for myself, think about your Savior. Think about what all he endured. And he did it, Timothy, that you might have salvation, that you might have eternal life, that you might enter into an eternal kingdom. Timothy, remember and think about your Savior. And I've heard people say who've recovered from a terrible sickness, they said, you know, it was a terrible experience, but I know this. Nothing compared to what my Savior did on my behalf. Nothing like what he went through. And so these are things we need to remember, and these are things we can think about to help us when we indulge in that self-pity and we want to complain so much. Think about the Savior. But then I suggest to you in the second place that the Apostle Paul, in order to encourage his son in the faith when he faces difficult times and there's that temptation to feel sorry for oneself, is to think about other believers. Think about other believers. Think about those in the past. Think about those in the present. For you notice what he says here. For which I suffer as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. And so, Timothy, you can think about me. Timothy, you spent time with me. We traveled together. And Timothy, you were first eyewitness to some of the things I went through. How I was treated. Some of the beatings. Some of the stonings. Timothy, you know about me, and think of your fellow saints and what they've endured to be faithful to the Lord, what they have endured to fulfill their callings. And you notice he says, previous to this, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. It's not that Paul had his own personal gospel that he wrote out. What he's referring to is that gospel that had been committed to him by the Lord. You go back to 1 Thessalonians, for example. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel in much conflict. You know, here's one, Paul. He'd been at Philippi, severely beaten, really told, now get out of town. And you'd think, well, you know, maybe I should get another calling. You know, it's a lot easier to make tents and the pay isn't that bad. No, he had a calling. And so he remains faithful. Even though he suffered, he's going to take this gospel. But here's the point. He brings out, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we had been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. You notice, entrusted. Christ had entrusted the gospel. And as believers, he's entrusted this gospel to us. We are to be faithful to this gospel. We are to be faithful as we speak to others about this gospel. So Timothy, a day raised from the dead according to my gospel. And Timothy, you know there were times when I preached the resurrection of Christ, how I was mocked. You go to Acts 17 on what we call Mars Hill, and he speaks about the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection yet to come, and the judgment. And they mocked and said, hey, some other time, buddy. So Timothy, look at your fellow believers. And I would venture to say that most of us here, God has brought someone into our lives, and we look at them and we think, I don't know how they put up with that. I don't know how they endure that. How do they endure that? By the grace of God. And that should be an encouragement to us. They endure that by the grace of God. Oh, by the grace of God, what I have to endure is so small compared to what they are going through. And so we remember the saints. And we can look at a little bit of church history. Oh, what they endured, you see, for the name of Christ. What they endured for the truth, even unto death. And you and I, we have these Bibles. We have many Bibles. It was very costly to many people that we might have our Bibles, that there might be a translation for us. And so we can think of other people that should be an encouragement to us, you see. And Timothy, I'm here in this prison, and I have chains on me. But here's some encouragement, Timothy. The Word of God's not chained. It's not changed. And so it's been in history during the heyday of the Soviet Union, they'd round up as many ministers as they could and throw them in the prison. If we get rid of the mouthpiece, we can get rid of the church. But it didn't stop the Word of God from going forth. And here's the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. They're going to shut his mouth permanently from the human point of view. But Timothy's out there. There are others out there. That Word has been sown in the hearts of men and women. That Word will go on. You cannot stop the progress of the Word of God. Oh yes, the people of God may have to hide. They go, as we say, underground. But even in places where the Bible is outlawed in certain Middle East countries, still they have believers. They meet together in secret. What's going on? I think Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell can't stop its advance. Timothy, don't get discouraged. Yes, they'll soon shut my mouth, but the Word of God will go on. And God will lift up more servants. And they will proclaim that holy Word. Don't get discouraged, Timothy. And even in our day and age, it's easy to get discouraged. We hear about how bad this church is and how bad that is and how Christians have been run out here and there. All that may be true. But Jesus Christ is still building His church. And a lot of times when that church is shut or something goes corrupted, it's a judgment from Christ. Did He not say to a certain church, I'll remove your candlestick? In other words, you'll no longer be a church. Did He not say, I'll vomit you out of my mouth? Judgment. And does not Peter tell us judgment begins at the house of God? Timothy, I'm going to be put to death. But that Word of God continues to advance. Don't be afraid, Timothy. Remember what I told you. Select qualified men, instruct them, that they may instruct others. That Word of God, it goes on. And so let that be an encouragement to us, you see. Timothy, be encouraged. The Word of God, it is not bound. It will continue on. But then there's something else, Timothy, I want you to think about. And it has to do with the sinner. Think about the sinner. What? Yes, let the sinner, let the unconverted be an encouragement to you, Timothy. What in the world are we talking about? You notice what he says. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Timothy, you know your theology. God has an elect people. From what we study the scriptures, this matter of divine election before the foundation of the world, out of the mass of the fallen sons of Adam, God, according to his own good pleasure, nothing within the sinner, selected a great multitude to be saved. In time he would redeem them by the blood of Christ. In time they would be called and sanctified, and in time brought into his kingdom. You see, Paul sets forth this matter of election as an encouragement. Not so people can sit around and argue. Timothy, if it wasn't for divine election, who would be saved? Men are dead in trespasses and sins. They love their sins. They don't want God. And unless God chose certain ones and renewed their hearts, no one would be saved. And so, Timothy, I endure things for the elect's sake. And most likely the elect here would be the uncalled elect, although he did endure a lot for those who were already called, who made up the churches. He put up with a lot from them. He did a lot for them. But here it could have reference to this uncalled elect people of God, I endure all things. In other words, he had a commission to preach that gospel, and he went forth to preach that gospel. Great opposition to that gospel, but he went on. We read earlier in 1 Thessalonians, he was beaten there in Philippi. He runs to Thessalonica. He gets run out of there. He goes down to Berea. Endures all things for the elect's sake. How does God call his elect? Well, yes, through the preaching of the gospel, but add to that the fact that he usually, commonly, gets one of his already called people next to that uncalled elect. Isn't that how he does it? Isn't that how maybe he dealt with you? He got some Christian next to you, maybe it was your parents, but he got some believer next to you. You could see his life, and he would say a few words to you, perhaps. Isn't that how God calls his elect? He uses people. He uses his disciples. We are to function as salt and light. Shouldn't they see something different in us? Hear something different from us? Timothy, I endure all things for the elect's sake. And God uses me, Timothy, to call his elect. And so we need to consider the unconverted. Or you might think of it this way. If, say, at the workplace or whatever the situation, I go around and complaining and bitching and griping, and some guy comes up to me and says, you know, I'm just like you. I like to bitch and gripe too. Is that the time you ought to tell him about Jesus? Is that the time? No. No. Timothy, people are watching you. Timothy, people are listening to you. What do they see? What do they hear? Are you influencing their lives for good? Now there's a section in Pilgrim's Progress. And it has to do with pilgrim and faithful. They enter into Vanity Fair. And there they come under all kinds of attacks, trying to get them to renounce their Christianity. And it gets very, very severe. And so faithful is put to death. He's put to death. And so Christian, the pilgrim, get out of here. So he starts to leave town. And as he's doing so, someone says, wait, I want to go with you. What was that man's name who wanted to go with him? Hopeful. The Lord had been dealing with him, and he watched and he listened to the testimony of Pilgrim and Faithful. And Faithful was obviously faithful unto death, and it greatly influenced him. And he wanted to go on pilgrimage with the pilgrim. Point is, someone's always watching you. Someone's listening to you. And so going around feeling sorry for yourself, complaining about everything, that's not a very good witness. Not a very good witness. And so we need to think, and let us all consider, next time we want to feel sorry for ourselves, stop. I have no right. I'm a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ. I belong to Him. Think about the Savior. Think about those who've gone on before you. And most likely you can think about someone that you're acquainted with at this present time. My, how faithful they are. And I don't hear them complaining all the time. Oh, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for thou shalt yet praise Him. Amen. Well, let us be dismissed in prayer. Our Lord God, we thank You for reminding us this morning that all too often we spend too much time focusing upon ourselves. We need to focus more upon our beloved Savior, upon the fellowship of the saints, and help us to be good and faithful witnesses to those that are yet in their sins. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.